I'm Richard Thibber.
And I'm Duncan MacLeod.
This is Talk Central, episode 210 for the weekend starting 9 March 2018.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central, real technology journalism.
On Talk Central this week, a polarized industry over the Electronic Communications Amendment Bill.
Also this week, SAP comes clean, MTN's results, Spotify is coming to South Africa, and new research shows Android users are more loyal than iPhone users.
That's interesting. It's Friday, and that means it's time to talk tech.
Oh, welcome to the show. How's it, Richard?
How's it, Duncan?
Let's do our quiz before we do anything else.
Okay, first question in this week's quiz result. Which is the latest audio streaming service to announce its arrival in South Africa?
How many markets does MTN operate in?
Third question. Who is said to be in talks to buy Vumatel?
That's an interesting one. Jaguar has announced a new range of electric SUVs. What are they called?
And the final question, which operator this week said that all unassigned broadband spectrum should be reserved for wholesale open access network?
And we'll be talking about that in the show today. But lots to talk about. It's been a hectic week. 2 days in Pretoria, the government telecoms hearings.
Riveting stuff, eh?
It was actually very interesting. You know, these things can be very dry, but this is something that's really going to define the industry. So it's it was really, really, really interesting stuff. So we'll talk about that in the show today. Podcasts. We've been doing a couple of podcasts this week, quite a few actually. The ones that I'd like to highlight, if you haven't heard them already, I did an interview yesterday with BCX CEO Ian Russell. It was a very interesting chat. BCX, the biggest IT services company in South Africa, and obviously a subsidiary of Telkom. And they've just a broad chat about the industry and how it's changed over the last few years the lack of skills and how BCX is trying to address. That was an interesting conversation. And then in a podcast I recorded this morning, which in fact has just gone live before we started recording now, I was with Robert Paisley and Graham McKinnon, respectively the chief strategy and chief legal officers of Cell C on the Electronic Communications Amendment Bill. And really, really interesting insights, I think, into how this bill could transform this industry. There's so much disagreement about what the right way forward is, but Cell C's taken an interesting approach, possibly the most nuanced approach of all the operators. So that podcast is also well worth a listen to. But let's talk about ECAB, as I call it, Electronic Communications Amendment Bill, and the Wholesale Open Access Network, WOAN, ECAB and WOAN. This industry loves abbreviations, doesn't it?
Yeah, they do.
So 2 days of workshops in Pretoria. I didn't attend the whole thing. You know, there are lots of presentations from small players and individuals, and I didn't stick around for all of those. Had a lot of work here in Johannesburg I needed to do as well. But attended all the main operators presenting, and there was some interesting viewpoints expressed. Shamil Yusuf, the CEO of Jusub, I'm never sure how to pronounce his surname. I must ask him someday. I think it's Jusub, actually.
Yeah.
He is he presented and had some sound bites, which I'm no doubt had prepared for use by the media in the headlines, which I promptly did, of course. He said his quote was, "This is our mining charter," referring to the mess in the mineral resources sector. And I'd heard the Director General of the Department of Telecommunications, Robert Nkuna, saying sometime later that day that this is definitely not the mining charter of the telecommunications industry. So I think they took that criticism quite sharply. But very strong criticism from both MTN and Vodacom, warning that that a dominant WOAN, as it's called, but effectively a WOAN that gets most of the spectrum or all of the spectrum, would be very damaging to the telecommunications industry. And it's a view I subscribe to as well. I think we need infrastructure competition in this industry. Cell C has a more nuanced approach. They say perhaps a majority of the spectrum should go to the WOAN, but there should still be spectrum made available to MTN and Vodacom to compete. So that's more of a nuanced approach. And then Telkom presented and said, give everything to the WOAN, which prompted me to write a column slamming them over it. I think that's a terrible idea because you'll just end up with an infrastructure monopoly. And
somebody benefiting from everything.
Yeah.
From all.
Now, I'm not surprised Telkom argued for that because they don't have the balance sheet to be able to compete with the bigger guys. And maybe, and I'm speculating here, maybe government has made it some sort of promise to be a lead anchor in this WOAN, or giving it some sort of special dispensation. I don't know, that's just speculation. But so you've got four operators here. Two say, okay, we'll support the WoWN, but it mustn't be a dominant WoWN. It must be a competitive WoWN. In other words, it gets a chunk of spectrum, but by no means all of it, and probably not the majority either. Then you've got Cell C's position, which says, okay, we can still make some spectrum available to MTN and Vodacom, but probably the bulk of the spectrum should be available to the WoWN. And then Telkom, which says, give it all. So lots of disagreement, lots of different views, lots of presentations from everyone from the Internet Service Providers Association, which I think made some very interesting inputs. Dominic Cole, the regulatory advisor there, very smart guy. We've got a lot of time for Dominic. And Research ICT Africa. Oh, there was a whole range of presentations. As I said, I didn't attend them all, but really interesting stuff. I think that my impression anyway is that government's taken quite a rigid stance on this whole thing, and I think there needs to be a softening in government's approach to this. And I think it's going to come. I don't know. I think everyone's sort of putting in their negotiating position. But at some point soon, I think there's going to have to be a middle way found. And I suspect that middle way is probably going to end up being closer to Cell C's position than MTN and Vodacom's position. And I don't think Telkom's idea is going to fly. I can't see that not going to court. Not just because it's a dumb idea. I think Vodacom and MTN will take it straight to court and say, well, you know, you're depriving us of our constitutional right to engage in business. Or whatever the technical legal term for it is. So it was an interesting discussion. I look forward to hearing more. I must say kudos to the DG for, you know, I do think they've taken quite a hard line position on this, and I think they do need to shift their position. But I must say kudos to him for engaging so publicly. He even invited ICASA to come along, and ICASA criticized the bill. I think end up engaged with him on Facebook. And he's very willing to engage on Facebook. So I think kudos to him for handling this in a democratic way and in the public spotlight, where he is being criticized by these big companies and being told that actually this bill you've come up with is not that good. So kudos to him for doing that. But it's an interesting time. But I think it's the crunch time is here, and the right decisions need to be made to avoid this industry getting damaged. And I think that as the bill currently stands, there's a very real risk of that happening. A lot of the submissions have said the bill should be withdrawn and rewritten. I think that's probably necessary. The problem is we need all these decisions taken yesterday because the spectrum crunch is here.
But did most of the people that attend and raise the objections, the ISPs, most of them must have surely were against this, apart from some of the big players like you mentioned.
There's a lot of support for the WoWN. Even the big operators have, I think, suspect grudgingly, so said they'll support the WoWN.
Right, so they're feeding some good with, you know, obviously not wanting it overall.
I'm sure Vodacom and MTN, if the choice was theirs, would not want a WoWN at all, because it is potentially a competitive threat to them. But they have conceded, okay, let's go for a hybrid model, as they call it, where we'll even support the WoWN by up to 30% of its capacity. And give it spectrum. So they said that much. But the worry is, and it would be a mistake, is to give everything to the WoWN, because then you just end up with another infrastructure monopoly. Even if it's based on open access, you end up having to do a very delicate regulatory balancing act.
And then law becomes a very tricky game around that when things get to, you know, when people start fighting about the spectrum. Yes. You want it to be as clean as possible, not complicated with many conditions and giving the keys to somebody who's, you know, you probably shouldn't have the keys to all that amount of spectrum.
So it's in the bill is in the government's court now. We'll see what they come up with next. But there's certainly going to have to be a revision to the bill at the very least. If it's not withdrawn, it's going to have to be revised. Because there were so many very valid good points made at this presentation. And I think apart from Telkom, most people were arguing for a competitive WoWN, in other words, a WoWN that isn't dominant, that doesn't get all the spectrum or even most of the spectrum. So I think that the government's going to go away now, look at these submissions, and I think they're going to reflect on them and realize that, okay, we need to concede some ground here. I think that's where it's going to go. I'd hope that's where it's going to go.
Yeah, let's hope.
So, yeah, that was a busy week in Pretoria. And they did it at a hotel on the far east of Pretoria. So it was a hell of a drive in the morning. It took me 2 hours to get there on the first day. Wowzers. In traffic. Yeah.
Did you get, at least you had some podcasts to keep you busy, I'm sure.
I did. I was listening to plenty of those en route. So SAP, the big German enterprise software company, coming clean this week. They issued a final report from Baker McKenzie, which is the law firm they appointed to look into the alleged kickbacks that they, or the kickbacks they allegedly paid to Gupta-owned companies to secure state-owned business. And they admitted that they did. They didn't use the word kickbacks, but they admitted that there were payments made to Gupta-owned companies and that there was work done through a Gupta associate. And that this flouted internal rules of SAP, and that the three employees who were implicated in this, who have resigned, they said they can't do anything further now because of South African labor laws in terms of going after these guys. But they've left the company and they will not be returning to the employ of SAP. I don't know what to think about this. On one level, it's, you know, well done, SAP. You've gone through a process here and you've identified what went wrong. You've been public about it. You've held press conferences. You've told us, you've given us a lot of detail in terms of how much money was paid, where it was paid, why it was paid, etc. On the other hand, how did you let this happen in the first place? What was wrong with your internal governance processes? And they've admitted it. They've said we screwed up.
Just shows how fragile any business can be if the wrong person makes the wrong decision. It comes down to, unfortunately, a single entity in many cases. Because the buck stops somewhere. And unfortunately, in a case like this, it's got huge ramifications.
Yeah. SAP didn't provide any detail on the three people who left the company. We don't have any insight into why they were doing it. Were they doing it to boost their commissions? To win bigger contracts, or were they personally benefiting from these kickbacks? I can call them that.
Yeah. Guess again, you follow the money, or look whose interest this was in, and see how deep their pockets were.
Yeah.
Some people have a price, and that has to be kind of reached, and other people will probably do it just for sales targets. Yes. We don't know.
We don't know. But bad things were done. That's no doubt about that. And of course, the Guptas are on the run now. Unfortunately, I'd really like to see them stand trial, but I can't see them ever stepping back into this country unless someone nabs them in India or Dubai or something and flies them out here in chains.
Yeah, but at least all of this came to a head in many ways. I mean, this could have gone bad in so many ways as well.
Yeah.
You know, we could have, fortunately, didn't, touch wood, and now we just have to deal with the aftermath of the damage that they caused.
Yeah. But before we get into a whole conversation about politics and all the rest of it,
let's move on.
Let's move on. In fact, let's take an ad break. We'll be back right after this.
Honey, why can't I download any more series?
Dad, my game just bombed.
Daddy, I was speaking to Kevin and my call just cut out.
With uncapped Vox fiber to the home, reaching your cap is a thing of the past. You can have all your devices connected all the time. Get unlimited browsing, unlimited calling, and unlimited entertainment. Vox Fiber. Now uncapped. T's and C's apply. For more information, visit vox.co.za.
Bitco is revolutionizing the way businesses connect. We're taking on your connectivity challenges and shooting our high-speed fiber internet across the country. Not just for some, but for everyone. Fiber is not a luxury, but a necessity. For business, for life, for you. And being connected is everything. So network with a tier one internet provider and take your business to the next level of connectivity. Bitco.co.za. Connectivity is everything.
Welcome back to the show. How's it, Rechard?
How's it, Duncan?
MTN had their results this week just to make things more manic. it's the first signs of spring, I would say, at MTN. They've been through hell over the last few years, starting with that Nigerian fine.
Yeah.
And it seems that the new CEO, Rob Shooter, has stabilized the ship and is now pointing it in the right direction. It was an impressive presentation they did. I thought it was a bit long. They went into a bit too much detail and wasn't really necessary in the presentation, given that all the information is in the extensive booklet that they hand out at these things. By the way, the telecoms companies provide the most amazing amount of detail in their financial results.
And some beautiful graphs too.
It's wonderful. They hand you this booklet, and Vodacom does it as well. And Telkom, for that matter. You get this thick booklet, which has got the most amazing level of disclosure in it. I mean, the disclosure goes way beyond what they're required to do in terms of governance. Mm-hmm. And I think it's fantastic. I mean, I love reading through those booklets, and you say, oh, that's an interesting number, and you compare it to this. And you say, oh, actually, there's a story here. so I really love the level of disclosure. And MTN seems to have disclosed more information this year than they have ever disclosed in the past. It's actually surprising how much they disclose. But good results, operationally good, impacted by a number of factors. The strong rand had a big impact on the reported numbers. The Naira in Nigeria, very weak, and that obviously impacts, as that's their biggest market. And a number of once-offs, so they're still paying the Nigerian fine, and there were a number of other once-off effects. But they swung back into profit, and they've got stable leadership here in the South African market. At last, the Nigerian operation seems to be doing all right. Iran is doing very well. Demand for data there is absolutely massive. They spent 31 billion rand on capex over the last 12 months, which is an incredibly big number.
Yeah.
And a big chunk of that, about a third of it, went into the South African operation. That's going to slow in the current financial year, 2018. But it's good to see MTN producing the numbers again, because they did go through a very torrid time and they've had a massive management shakeup. I mean, it's effectively a new team running that organization. Mm-hmm. And it's good to see the stability in the South African operation under Godfrey Mwanza. MTN, interesting article on Bloomberg yesterday saying that they might look to reduce the number of markets they operate in. They're in 22 markets at the moment. There's one of our quiz answers. I've always been amazed at some of the markets they've chosen to stick around in, like Afghanistan and Syria and Sudan. Now they're in fact Sudan and South Sudan. Yemen, they're in Yemen.
Sure.
Syria, I think I mentioned Syria. But they're in some pretty dodgy places. The chief financial officer is saying that they're looking to possibly reduce that number, which makes sense. I mean, you've got to focus on these little tiny little markets, and you have all these issues popping up, like they've popped up in Benin now, where the Benin government's trying to extract some huge amount of money from them. I don't know. They've got three key markets, South Africa, Nigeria, and Iran. Around that, they've got some other, smaller but interesting markets like Ghana, where I think they're the number one operator by quite some distance. Rwanda, they've got a share in a company in Botswana. So there's some interesting markets more stable places where they operate. But geez, I mean, operating a network in Syria.
Yeah, you have to ask at which point does it make business sense, and also reputation-wise, in many ways.
I don't know if it's a reputational issue, but it's. I think it's a. It's just a. Operationally challenging. Mm. I don't think Rob Shooter spends much of his time worrying about the Yemeni market, or the Syrian market. But these issues will pop onto his desk from time to time, while he's trying to sort out. Challenges in other markets like South Africa, which are much, much more important to him.
Yeah.
I don't know. There are opportunities as well, I suppose. Angola's market is starting to open up, and that's a huge opportunity. New president there, the possibility of new licenses being awarded. So I've got no doubt that both MTN and Vodacom will be pursuing licenses in Angola. So maybe they sell off some of their smaller operations. Might make sense.
Yeah, I don't know, definitely.
So, as an airplane goes flying overhead, Spotify is coming to South Africa. They're having a press conference next week. I think it's on Tuesday, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it's Tuesday.
Have you used Spotify?
No, but it was the first music streaming service I was ever exposed to more than a decade ago. I visited some friends in the UK, And they showed me this less than a decade ago. They showed me Spotify.
I was going to say, they haven't been around that
long. Yeah, no, so it was 2008 or 2009 okay. or something. But it was very early on Spotify.
Well, that is a decade ago.
Yeah, well, actually, you're right. But it was very, I know this guy got early access, so it may have been the beta that I saw. Because okay. He knew one of the guys who worked in Germany. And it just blew my mind, the interface, the access to all the music. I mean, that was before I was familiar with the concept of streaming, you know, on a daily basis.
Yes.
Yeah, so Spotify's always been like, I guess, the godfather of the streaming service for me, even though I've never physically used it.
Okay.
But I've heard good things.
Yeah, I'm certainly going to give it a try when it launches. I'm a Google Play Music subscriber, but I'll give it a bash. I'm sure they'll have a free month trial. Probably get a voucher at the press conference, try it out for a couple of months.
Yeah.
And I'll switch. I'm not loyal. If Spotify's better, I'll switch to it.
No, definitely. I also, look, to be honest, like streaming movie service, I find myself, I don't know how it happened, but I've subscribed to a few music services at the moment. And I do use some of them. My main one at the moment is between Google Play on the Android and then obviously iTunes. But Spotify, you can do on obviously all platforms. So it makes sense. You know, you actually, I guess, unlike iTunes.
Play music you can use on.
No, for sure. But I mean, and Apple Music too. Why would you use something that's maybe not as good as iTunes, arguably? I'm opening a can of worms here, I know.
No. I won't take that bait.
Look, for me, it's what I like about Spotify also, I guess, is the fact that it's got integration with, and I'll talk about my pick later, but it's got some integration with third-party applications, which I've never seen with any other streaming service. I think
you can do podcasting in it as well.
In
Spotify.
Oh, interesting.
You can do it in Google Play Music as well if you live in America.
Oh, okay.
Not here. So hopefully the podcasting functionality comes to South Africa and Spotify.
And apparently the algorithms are fantastic. Mm. The music recommendation engine is much better than anything else. Although I guess, we'll have to put some hands on time with it and see. But I mean, in terms of interface, how it works, just that's what appeals to me about Spotify. And the fact that, like I said, third-party app integration, it's... There's some really cool stuff out there that you can do that you can't do with any other music streaming service.
Yeah.
And it's new, so why not like it?
Yes. And I don't need the podcasting functionality. I use Pocket Cast, which is I'm very loyal to. It's a very, very good app, not least because of their brilliant notes on their updates. Have you ever read them on Pocket Cast?
No, I haven't.
I mean, you got Pocket Cast.
Yeah, I do.
Next time there's an update, just go into the update and see. Don't auto-update. Just go into the update and see the release notes.
Yes.
And it's wonderful what they write in there. It's very funny. every time they release a new piece of software, it's got some funny thing.
Nice.
Like, I forget the... I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but they went from like version 3.1... 1 to 3.1, 2.3, 3.13, and then went to 3.1, then it went to 3.2 or something like that. And they said, I bet you didn't think we'd ever release the version 3.2. But
some witty coder writing the liner notes in there.
Yes.
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah. So Spotify, it's we don't know when it's launching. They've got a press conference on Tuesday. It might be that it's available immediately. But it might be that
they... It should be the kind of thing that they can kind of flip thing the switch
you'd,
on.
You'd imagine they'd launch it with immediately or within a few days of...
Yeah.
I'd imagine that.
Well, I mean, it's about making that URL live and just, because, I mean, they've had the ZA site up for a long time, but obviously you couldn't access or do anything.
Yes.
I mean, I've been checking to see if there would be a moment when they would decide to open it.
Yeah. I've actually just picked up my Android phone here. I'm going into the Play Store and see if Spotify has appeared because they do tend to make these things available a day or two before because there is some delays.
Some propagation time required.
Anyway,
what I look forward to seeing with this offering too is the family package or a package for multiple users.
Yeah.
Now with iTunes and Google Play Music, the way it works is unfortunately you kind of assign your account that you share with these people. So if they buy apps, it gets charged to the one account that's mastering it.
Yes.
What I would like to see is an app where you can, I guess they're trying to minimize people just lending it out to their friends, but have a set amount, and then you can give one access to a friend or family member who you want to give streaming music access to. I come across people all the time, and I wish I could just somehow give them 1 or 2 months streaming music because it does unlock so much for anybody who's a music fan.
Yeah. I mean, I took out the family plan, and I saw that. Because I wanted to share it with my father and my wife. And I saw that thing about, they can buy apps on here using your account. It's like, okay. So I did it anyway, and I said, just don't use this to buy any apps, please.
Exactly.
We are. That was Spotify. What's next on our list? Android versus
Android
iPhone.
Android versus smartphones.
So you, there's a story on TechCrunch this morning.
Yeah. So
you've had a look at it.
Yeah, yeah. TechCrunch basically reported in their story today that iPhone or Android users are more loyal than Apple users. Now, well, the reason why this is interesting is we always thought that Apple users would be the guys that are more loyal to the brand. But the story does go a bit deeper. In fact, Apple users were more loyal than Android users back in 2013. So the stats do vary. But what they say is that the most likely reason for Android users being more loyal to the brand is the fact that they can change brands and designs without having to change the operating system. So with iPhone, you know what you're getting with an iPhone, whether you're getting an iPhone 5 or the iPhone 7. You know, you're getting pretty much the same type of device, just with better specs. And Android, there's obviously
that's one of the reasons I like.
And, yeah.
That's one of the reasons I love using Android, because when I get to upgrade time, it's not like, okay, what has Apple made this time around?
Not the next Apple, yeah.
I can say, okay, right, we've got Samsung, we've got Sony, we've got Huawei, we've got HTC, we've got Nokia. The list goes on and on.
Yeah.
I can choose a phone based on the hardware specification, the look of it, the feel of it, etc. So I'm not limited to one vendor. And that's why one of the reasons I like Android.
And I think for me that, and I mean, I've switched to Android. I'm using both platforms. But that's been one of my reasons too. Apple, I like the device, and you know, I can't really fault it, because it's a great device in the Apple range, and you can happily upgrade and be a happy iPhone user. But they're not as intriguing or appealing anymore as a smartphone user. You know, they're not the benchmark anymore. They're not the de facto standard in what the best smartphone out there is.
No, that's true.
You really have so many great options, and sometimes it's nice to make a change in terms of design. Obviously, the platform, you know, once you switch to an Android device, it's, you know, once you have your profile on, then your Gmail account all set up, it's very easy to just enable any other device to do that.
In fact, when you get your next phone, you simply tap the phones together and off you go.
That's true.
All your apps, can now download.
Look, I mean, if you're talking about the high-end smartphones and low-end smartphones, Android is still a different beast on both of those. You know, I wouldn't want to be a user of a low-end Android smartphone. I just don't think those things usually have enough power. And your experience might not be as good. But when you're trying to compare the high-end, well, an iPhone with a high-end Android device, I can see why people find it difficult to decide and choose. I mean, the stats, I mean, the numbers are close. It's in the 90s versus in the 80s.
Yeah.
So people are still kind of umming and ahhing, but we've seen the announcements recently with all the new Android phones, and they are fantastic.
Yes.
They're absolutely fantastic.
Yes.
Especially the vanilla Android ones, or the pure Android devices.
So that's our news this week. Let's move on to our regular features. Our winner this week is Vumatel.
Yay.
That is because they are in talks, reportedly, to sell the business to Remgro, which of course owns or has a large shareholding in Dark Fiber Africa, and the plan apparently is for Vumatel to be integrated into DFA. I think this may be the second time these talks have been taking place. I reported this about a year ago now, beginning of last year, somewhere around there, that there were discussions going on. I've subsequently heard that they were a few weeks ago that they were in talks again. I didn't have time to chase the story, and then Bloomberg picked it up from possibly the same sources I'd been speaking to and ran with it. What I have heard is that they are in discussions to take a 51% stake in Vumatel, which I don't think Bloomberg reported. And that there is a due diligence currently taking place on the Vumatel business. Neil Schumann and team, who have who've built a very successful fiber to the home business, and is in demand. And I think Neil and his partners are going to be very rich men one day.
That's the way to do it. Build a fantastic business that everybody wants.
Yeah.
That's a rule for the MBA students, guidebook for the MBA students.
For sure. For sure. And amazing. It was just a few years ago that we were chatting to Neil in Parkhurst when he was starting to train. I still remember quite clearly that day when I went there, and he dug he put the spade in the ground. And it feels like just yesterday. And now there's talk about a deal possibly worth over R1 billion.
And look, I mean, how many, two, three, maybe 4 years now? And how many fiber deployments have there been? How many houses are connected now? I mean, the internet landscape has changed because of that, because of them.
Yes.
They started this race.
Yeah. Yeah, and they had the guts to do it when everyone else was saying, when the big incumbent operators were saying, it's too expensive, we can't do fiber to the home. These guys said, no, actually, let's do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And now everyone's in the race.
It's a great story.
Just takes one. It's a great story. And our loser this week is Telkom for their presentation and their submission to the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services, asking effectively that we create a new monopoly in the telecoms market by giving all unavailables, or unassigned spectrum rather, to the wholesale open access network. Bad idea, guys. Bad idea. You're our loser this week. I do not have a pick, so once again,
Rehart, it's 2 weeks in a row, I'm not mistaken.
No, I had one last week. I picked Vivaldi last week.
Oh, you're right.
Okay. By the way, I'm still using Vivaldi a week later as my default browser, and I love it.
So we can make that a continuation pick.
Yeah, continuation pick. I pick it again. So good.
My pick I may have picked before, but it's kind of with an addendum A now because Spotify is launching in the country. The app that I'm picking is DJ Pro. It's available on the Apple iTunes store, and it costs about $700. But it's a fantastic DJ application. I've spoken about it. It's just the way that it allows you to mix songs.
I saw you live streaming something on Facebook.
That's the app I was using.
Oh, with all the dials and colored lights and stuff.
Because the turntables actually rotate. I was trying to. It's a nice steady rotation. So I was trying to see in terms of live streaming if that is a smooth. You know, if it's a smooth rotation on a live stream versus you know, a jerky experience. But anyway, so DJ Pro, I mean, you can get some electronic controllers, you can get a Techniques controller, and then actually have sliders and knobs at your fingertips. But even just using a mouse and keyboard, this app is great. But the reason why I'm picking it this week is it's got Spotify integration. Now, up until now, for me to use it, I need to actually have the MP3s on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, being a streaming user fan, I play most of my new playlists are on iTunes Music, and it's just, you know, once you invest in playlists on a streaming service, you can't really get those songs offline unless you manage them individually and get them individual.
Yeah.
Now, with the Spotify integrations, you know, DJI Pro makes it easy for me to actually mix any music, any party, any place with 80 million tunes at my fingertips. And you can then obviously use those beat mix features, like, you know, upping the tempo or upping the beat with keeping the tempo, you know, so that it doesn't sound like the song is sped up, those kind of features. I think it's a great integration. It's a great reason to have all those songs at your fingertips. You know? If you just on the fly think about a song that you want to play, you don't have the MP3, it's a problem. With Spotify, it's not. I'm looking forward to playing with it. I think it's one of the big reasons why I'm going to get Spotify.
Okay. Are you going to the press conference?
Yes.
Okay. I've
got some interviews lined up. We're going to get down to what the guys plan to do in South Africa.
Great stuff. Awesome. I think, Rehart, that is our show, unless I'm missing something, which I don't think I am.
Just the quiz results.
Just the quiz. Yeah. Let me do the first question. Which is the latest audio streaming service? Okay, I don't think we even need to ask that question. Spotify, of course. Next.
The second question, how many markets does MTN operate in? And the answer is 22, but that number may be reducing soon.
And who is said to be in talks to buy Vumatel? And that is Remgro.
And the fourth question, Jaguar has announced a range of electric SUVs. What are they called? And the answer there is I-Pace.
And our last question in the quiz this week, which operator this week said that all unassigned broadband spectrum should be reserved for a wholesale open access network? And that is Telkom.
Boo. For the decision.
Yeah. So that's our show this week. Thanks to everyone in the chat room who joined us on the live stream this week. I forgot to greet you at the beginning of the show. I see Justin and Martin and one or two others joined us there. Thanks for listening, guys. And, it's time for the weekend.
Yeah, please. It needs to start now.
It's been a heck of a weekend.
Yeah, get this week out of the way.
The weekend's here. It means I can start to catch up on all my email.
But you also have to do some birthday beers tonight. So that's unfortunately up to
it is
you.
It is indeed my birthday. So I shall be... my wife is taking me out to dinner. And she'll no doubt be having a few cold ones as well. So
fantastic.
Looking forward to that. As always, if you've got any feedback, info@techcentral.co.za is our email address. Until next week, from Rehart and myself, cheers.
Ciao, ciao.